What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Sebastian Scale Show. So, picking up from the end of the last episode, I have a girlfriend now. And her name is Galen, and we had this amazing time in Idlewild. And on the way back, I called my dad and told him, and he said that his freshman year dorm in college was called Galen House. So, naturally, that's where we're headed next. And it turns out that I was going to a wedding 2 weeks later in San Francisco. And my dad went to UC Santa Cruz, which is like an hour south of San Francisco. So it was like, all right, pretty clear that that's where we're going. I don't know what's going to happen, but you don't have to. You don't have to know that you got to go. And that's the fun part. It's like, if I knew why I needed to go there, if I knew what was going to happen, what would be the point? It's not, it's the quote from Alan Watts about the future known is already the past. Why? It would be so much less exciting to go through life knowing everything that was going to happen. There would be no surprises. But egoically, from a protection perspective, from a survival point of view, if I know everything that's going to happen, if I can take all of these things and make sure that nothing is going to go wrong, then everything will be fine. And egoically, survival speaking, fine being alive. But that's not, it's the only thing guaranteed in this life is that you're going to die. So why not just go along with it? Enjoy the ride that is it. The only thing that's guaranteed about this ride is that it's going to end. And I think that there's a lot of these experiences of synchronicities make it, it feels like it's not the end. It feels like it's just another ride of many rides that we've been on in different bodies and different organizations of molecules that exist. But in terms of our conceptual survival understanding, well, conceptual and biological survival tendencies, in order for things to be fine, we have to stay alive. And it's a funny thing to be trying to prevent the only thing that is unpreventable. Who knows? I saw something the other day that was like, don't worry about having a happy ending. Like, have a happy story. Just enjoy like the whole time. Don't try to just get to the point where you're retiring and then can finally enjoy life and have that happy ending after just a miserable in-between period. Just enjoy the whole thing, the whole time. Even the moments that suck, quote unquote, they're there for you. It's for a purpose. It's significant. And I don't know, it just feels like we don't have to run away from what we know is coming. We don't have to be afraid to think about it either. I feel like thinking about death has been probably the best. That camera just turned off. That could just be a battery issue. Well, we'll see. It's all good, either way. Like, even our perceptions of getting sidetracked are likely to be incorrect. Like, how do you know that a sidetracking, what we think is us getting sidetracked, isn't us just getting retracked to something that we need to be focusing on? Maybe our attention is just meant to be somewhere else in that moment. And maybe the idea of not knowing what we're thinking about is just because we don't need to think about what it was that we were thinking about. We don't need to know what it was that we were trying to talk about. there's something else that we need to talk about. And just forgetting about it in that moment was essential. It just, we don't have to know. And it's more fun to not need to know. Because then you're open to anything. Whatever happens, whatever can happen. So anyway, I was stoked. And I just happened to be going there, you know, right next door to Galen House. So I went up and I went to the wedding, and it was cool. Saw a lot of my old friends. And after the wedding, I spent a night in San Francisco. And I went to this place. It's right by the Golden Gate Bridge. Voice crack. You know, it's like, it's all sort of in the same vein, just like embarrassment. I didn't know what I was talking about. My voice cracked. I tripped. You know, these things that seem to stress us out in the moment that just have no, they have no weight unless we assign weight to them. And we have the ability to assign infinite weight to them. And we also have the ability to assign no weight to them. And it's a lot lighter to assign no weight to worries. It's a much more enjoyable, light existence. So I got to this park. It's like right on the beach, right next to the Golden Gate Bridge. And I intentionally was going there because that is where I started writing my first stand-up set ever. I was living in San Francisco for a summer internship right before I moved to New York. And this is the summer after college. And I had just seen this improv show with my friend Liam. And in the improv show, they were making a bunch of pedophile jokes. And it was just like the audience had such a positive reaction to them. And I was kind of just like mesmerized by what was happening, you know, all my life. Like I'd been really afraid and sort of ashamed to talk about what happened to me. And it just totally warped my perception of what was possible. And so it was sort of an impetus to be like, wow, I feel like I could do that, you know? And so I just went to this park one night and just started writing on my phone. Random shit. No, like it was just sort of like a word vomit of stuff that had happened to me that, you know, I didn't have any concept of comedy or like how I would perform this or what would happen, but it just felt like it's time to talk about this. It's time to get this out. And I was so filled with like exhilaration and enthusiasm and fear, but also excitement. And it was really cool to go back to that spot. And what I noticed was like a lot of the feelings came back. It felt like I was right back in that headspace of like, oh my God, am I seriously going to do this? This is crazy. And it just, you know, 5 years had passed and yet it felt like I was right back there. And to also know some what's happened since then, and to just be able to feel the feelings of how good it feels to know that it worked out and that it is working out. I wanted to like tell myself back then that like, oh man, it's gonna work out better than you can imagine. But you didn't even need to do that because it did. It worked out better than I could have imagined then. Then it's all good. And I was really just happy. I was so happy and I cried a bunch. Dude, it's been a lot of happy crying. Lots of happy crying. Lots of, like, I have this sense of gratitude when I cry now. It feels like I've gotten better at allowing emotion, and I know that crying is just sort of like this ultimate release, and that there's, you know, even as I'm crying about something that is sad or happy, you know, it can be whatever, but it feels better. And it's a funny thing to experience crying, something that I was so afraid to do for so long, and I was ashamed to cry. I never, you know, you don't want people to know that you're crying. And then, just like with every perception, you realize nobody remembers. nobody remembers, and nobody cares. It was trippy. It was very trippy to be back there. So I had a lovely time. And then the next day, I drove down to Santa Cruz, and there was this poker tournament that night. And I was going to go to the poker. Fuck, shit. I just said that I was going to... Wow, so not that big of a deal. You ever catch your reaction? Fuck shit. It's so fine. I edit this podcast quite a bit, and I wanted to just try one all the way through and just let it be, you know? I feel like part of the editing that I do is like sort of It's a sense of control. I get to control the narrative of what's put out. I get to make it splice together nicely so I don't look stupid. Whatever the thing is, it seems like some of it is rooted in self-consciousness. And so I want to get to the point where I can just put it out there and trust it. Like, what if I say a couple of times, or if I don't know what I'm talking about, that it's okay. Plus, like, nobody speaks in perfectly edited clips anyway. Like, it's not how our brains work with our mouths and vocal cords. It's okay, you know? And I feel like anything that you can do to release your control over how life needs to be is a releasing of tension. And it's a trusting the unfolding, the universe, and yourself, which is what the universe is. It's who you are. It's cultivating trust in everything and nothing. And it feels so good to do that. Which is really the only, like, it's kind of the only gauge you need. As long as you're not harming anyone else, if it feels good, do it. Let that be your guide. How does it feel? And it doesn't feel good to be recording a podcast and think, fuck, shit, I suck. Like, what? Dude, sometimes my brain is such a bully, dude. I'm amazed. The more I watch my thoughts, the more I am shocked at how rude and mean my brain is to me. And almost like never to anyone else. I've certainly had plenty of thoughts that would be mean to say to people. But as I become more aware of it, the more I just realize that so much of it is just me talking shit about myself to myself. There's like, I remember seeing something that was like, if you would nobody would ever hang out with like somebody that did. If I had a friend that was saying the stuff that I say to myself to me, we would never see each other ever again. But for some reason, we tolerate it in our brains, and I guess it's just because we're used to it. If we think 70,000 thoughts a day and the majority of them have been negative, it's not that crazy to just keep thinking negatively. It's the routine. I suck. I suck. I suck. Everyone's mad at me. Whatever it is. And it all just stems from trauma and control and these things that we can heal from and let go of. And it doesn't... Just because we've been a certain way for a certain amount of time doesn't mean we have to stay that way. We can always change. So, anyway, why did I say fuck shit? I forget. Oh, yeah. I was going to Santa Cruz. And they have this pier in Santa Cruz with a giant arcade. And I remember being there as a kid. And I have these really fond memories of playing Hydro Thunder, which is this boat racing game, and like just playing video games there and having a really good time. And there was this one game called Speed Demon, which I was really good at. And it was like you launched a ball into like a little spinny thing. And then if it dropped in one of the three places, you got to this wheel spun around, and then you get to click the button on the thing. Am I just butchering this explanation? It's okay if I am. It's a game that was fun to play, and I was pretty good at it. That's all you really need to know. See, even then, I just said pretty good because I just for a moment was like, "Don't you can't say that you were really good," even though I just did before that. God, dude, brains are so crazy. Yeah, dude, everyone's going to turn the podcast off because you said you were really good at this game instead of pretty good. You better be humble. I fucking dominated Speed Demon. It was crazy, dude. It's one of the games that the wheel spins around and you have to hit the button on the exact point, and then you go to the inner ring and it goes faster and you hit the button again, and then there's another ring, there's three rings, and I would just drill it every time. It was crazy. And I was so happy with myself. It was so fun. And what I realized, because I was talking to my dad again on the way to Santa Cruz, and he was telling me that when I was there playing Speed Demon, it was right after I had told my mom and my dad about the molestation, and right before we went to court. So it was like this super turbulent time in my life where I was all this uncertainty and fear and stuff. It was a very scary time. And my parents just brought me down to Santa Cruz because they wanted to get away. You know, like, it was hard to be at home. So we went there, and that was like what I remembered was just these really positive feelings of being good at this and enjoying it and being with my family. So when I got there, I found Speed Demon, and they still had it. It was sick.
Yes, we're live. Oh,
it felt so similar to being at the beach, where I was like right back in the emotions of how I felt at that time in my life. Because I remember just being like, I had this confidence playing Speed Demon that just, I mean, even though I wasn't winning at it anymore, it like still just, it felt good. And, you know, I felt like grateful for this game to have given me this sense of like, I don't know, you can do this. Yeah, I don't know, man. It felt good. And it felt like, all right, cool. I can, you know, just apparently instantly access emotions of the past. And it just, yeah. felt like I was going back to like another part of my life. It was a crazy like trajectory. It was like we went to the first stand-up set writing session space and then right back to the spot where I had come for relief after speaking up about the molestation for the first time. Yeah, I don't know. It was cool, dude. And it felt good to be there. It was like in the middle of the day and there was like nobody there. I had like the whole arcade to myself. But I basically just played Speed Demon and Hydro Thunder. It just got me thinking like what you know, what are our abilities? Are these emotions just dormant inside of us and then we put ourselves back into the spaces, whether physically in the actual environments where the emotions took place or mentally we imagine the scenarios and then we feel the emotions? It's just an interesting thing to be like, wow, these emotions are still there in some degree. So it was a lot of fun. And I went to this poker tournament that night. And I love poker. I play, it's such a fun game to me. And I like playing it in different places. And so they had this small tournament. There were probably like three tables. It was like 30 people. And I went and it was, everyone there knew each other. It was like the Santa Cruz psychedelic locals. Because Santa Cruz is like a super trippy town. It's very hippie-esque, very like, you just feel kind of shroomy walking around. And everyone there was just this, everyone was so groovy. It was a fun environment to be in. And I sat down at the table, started playing, and I was talking to the guy next to me, and eventually he got knocked out, and then somebody else sat down. And he's super friendly. And he started asking me about what I do. And so I told him I do stand-up and podcasting and I run this nonprofit. And he was like, oh, what do you do stand-up about? And, you know, I'm very much at the point in my life now where I welcome all conversations related to these types of things. And you know, for a while I just used to be like, oh, you know, like trauma and stuff, but now I'm just like, yeah, I do stand up about being molested as a kid. And it makes for really amazing conversations. Like, I don't think I've ever had a negative response to it. I've definitely had some like, whoa, whew, some shocking looks, but even those, it's like you keep talking about it and people come around. But I told this guy, I'll call him Ted. And I told him and he just went silent. And the game kept going and we, you know, kept playing. And I don't know how much time passed, but I sort of had this sense like I guess in retrospect would have expected myself to be uncomfortable with the silence, but I had a sense of like, you know, this is significant. This doesn't have to do with me. It feels like in situations like that, it's so easy to immediately interpret it as like, oh, what, you don't think that's cool? You don't think that's funny? Fuck you, Ted. Whatever the ego decides to interpret reality as. But it just felt like, all right, let's just sit in this space for a little bit. And eventually he like turned to me and he was like, that's cool that you do that. And I was like, thank you. And then we kept playing. And then at one point he like turned to me and like really, really quietly told me that he was molested by his neighbor when he was a kid. And the only person that knew about it was his brother. And Ted was 75. And it was this wild moment of like, you know, connection with this stranger who decided to trust me with this thing that he had kept a secret for, I think he said it happened when he was six. So 79 years. Oh no, 69 years. He kept that a secret. And then just told a stranger at a poker table. And it was so, you know, I like matched the volume level, because he also, like, everyone at the table knew him. So, of course, he didn't want everyone to just all of a sudden know about what happened to him. But it was amazing to share that moment with him. Because it was almost like, I was watching him speak up for, it wasn't the first time, but it was potentially the first time in 60 years or whatever it had been. I don't know when he told his brother. I think it was when they were young, but I don't know what age. But the point being, he probably hadn't talked about this in just so long. And it was very similar to what I was experiencing on the beach and with Speed Demon, where I sort of, in that silence, it was like he was back in his experience. And I don't know if he was, I don't know what he was thinking, I don't know what he was feeling, but it was definitely like there was something intense was happening. And I don't know. It just was trippy to think about. Like, I went back, you know, 5 years to the beach, and then like, what would it be? 15 years to the original Speed Demon trip. And this guy's going back 60 years. And it was like, wow. What? It's just so cool, dude. And so we ended up having this, like, you know, long conversation, not so much about the molestation, but about life. He was telling me about his journey and psychedelics. You know, he was this really, really cool dude. And I just felt like it was like, oh, this is why I was meant to go play this poker tournament. You know? It was this really trippy moment in time of time that made time seem sort of irrelevant. Who can access feelings and emotions from any point in time now. And when it happened then, it was now. It's just always now. It's always been now. So, what even is time, dude? It's just a unit of measure that we came up with. We just totally made it up. It's not real. We think of time as a tick, 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 tick. But that's just a hand on a clock turning that we've assigned meaning to. There's no actual time. It's just now. It's always been the same now. I mean, it's infinitely changing now, but it's just this. Nothing ever happens outside of this. And maybe that's a big part of why we're here. It's just to experience all that now is. All that now has to offer, which is everything. It's just trippy to think about, like, wait, nothing has ever happened outside of now. I gotta spend some more time here. I gotta spend some more time in the now. Well, fortunately, you can't get out of it. So you've never spent any time outside of now. You've always been in now. But if your attention is outside of now, then you experience things that are different nows in the past or the future. You pull in a past now into the current now and experience the feelings of the past now now. Which can be great if you're doing it for productive purposes, healing, positive reflections. Yeah, dude, it was so trippy. So yeah, we have each other, we exchange numbers. We haven't spoken since then, but it was just cool to be like, God, this thing that I was so ashamed of my whole life is now something that creates these deep connections with people, like, instantly. I mean, Ted and I had been talking for, like, maybe 3 minutes. And then it's like, all right, cool. Here's our traumas at this poker table. Like, forget the game at that point. Somehow we were still playing, but it just... It was cool, dude. Felt very significant. So anyway, I lost the tournament. I went out, I think I got like 10th place or something, and I went to bed that night and woke up the next day and was going to go to Galen House, and I did. And when I got there, it was this like quadrangle of houses. So there were four houses and one of them was Galen House. I'll pop up a photo here. And I got there and I had been talking to my dad on the way there, just telling him about this experience with Ted. And I was just, cause I had this sense, you know, like, oh, this is a trippy trip, you know? And I had this sense that like, oh, anything could kind of happen. I don't know why I'm here, but I know that I'm supposed to be here and it feels good to be here. And I'm just going to experience whatever it is. And so my dad had to run to do a call or something. And eventually I pulled into Galen House, and they, in the middle of those four houses, they had like a lawn, like a nice green patch of grass. And originally I was like walking around Galen House, kind of like looking at the windows, trying to see like, what am I supposed to see here? Why did I come here? There's something going on here. What is it? And eventually I went and sat on this bench that was in the middle, or just like on the side of this grass. And I sat down there and it was facing Galen House, and I started meditating. Probably like 10 minutes into the meditation, I opened my eyes and I was looking at the grass, and the grass was like moving. It was like wavy, kind of like when you start like tripping a lot of, sometimes you'll look at walls and the walls will be like moving. The walls will look like they're breathing in a very fun way. And that's what this grass looked like. And I was just staring at it like, this is, you know, very, very interesting. I'm totally sober. It's like the middle of the day. And I closed my eyes, meditated for another 10 minutes or so. And then I opened them again, and the grass was moving way more intensely. It was like as if I had taken mushrooms 30 minutes beforehand, and I was just coming up. But it was like, I, you know, it wasn't like, oh, this grass might be moving. It's like, this grass is dancing. I'm watching, like, this grass is moving like a wave on an ocean. It's just totally super mind-boggling in the moment, honestly. But I felt good about it. Like, I wasn't like, oh, did somebody drug me or something? You know, I just felt like, I don't know what's happening, but like, I'm happy to watch this wavy grass do its thing. It's pretty sweet. And I'm not worried about it. And so I kept meditating. I did another 10 minutes. And then when I opened my eyes, the grass was totally back to normal. And I was like, cool, man. I don't know what just happened, but cool. And so I just kind of sat there for a little while, taking it in, half expecting myself to start tripping again, but just, you know, along for the ride. And then I went back to the car. And when I got back into the car, my dad called me. He had just finished his call. And he was like, "What's up? How's Galen House?" And I was like, "It's pretty interesting." And so I told him about the experience that I had just had. And he told me that the first time that he ever took mushrooms was in that grass, freshman year of college. So, I mean, what is that even? He told me that, and I was like, somehow this is trippier than watching the grass wave. What is it? What does that mean? Like, somehow my being was tapping into one of my creators, in my father, my two parents. One of my parents had his first psychedelic experience in the space where I was meditating 40 years ago. I mean, the meaning of this is so bananas and sort of hard to... I probably should have thought this through a little bit more to have some poignant points to make, but it just blew my mind. And it just, you know, I feel like with each of these experiences, the things that we're talking about in this podcast, it just feels like it blows my conceptual understanding of reality out the window over and over again. And I love it. I love feeling like this existence is magic. And we get to just keep experiencing all the different magical ways that it unfolds without fear, without the need to control or try to dictate how it goes. It feels like there's this dissolving of seriousness and dissolving of, like, just the way that I thought things worked. And I welcome it because it feels good. But for real, like, what the fuck does that mean? It highlights, like, this interconnectedness between ourselves and other beings, and just further eliminates time. I mean, it really made me feel, again, like this, it's just this connection to more. It's a connection to things that our brains can't understand, but we get to experience. It's so... What do you think? What do you think this means? As a watcher, listener, do you have a sense of, like, what this could possibly be? And just the fact that it came, this whole sequence led up to going to Galen House after having all of these time warp feelings And like, you know, it's like everything's warped for the best. I should also note that I've been like, I was totally sober on this trip. Like I went to that wedding. I haven't really drank in like months. I just haven't really been drinking. I just don't enjoy it that much anymore. And I used to smoke all the time, but I just haven't been smoking, and I love mushrooms and will always probably do mushrooms, but I just, Galen and I had just taken them a couple of weeks ago. So I was just not feeling like doing anything. So I was just totally sober. Like I couldn't have been more sober. So I don't know what could have caused that wavy grass. But maybe that's the point. Is not to figure out why it happened or how it happened, but just to experience how cool it was that it happened. And it was cool. So it's still, you know, it's been a little while since then, but it's still just blowing my mind. And I went back to LA after that, just driving along the coast, just laughing about how wild this existence is and how cool it is, and just grateful to be here and along for the ride. So thank you for watching. The next episode is certainly up there for one of the wildest. I don't know. I mean, it's just like everything is just so wild now, dude. Everything that happens is so wild, and it's not slowing down. It's not stopping. We're here for it. And it's so fun, dude. And I'm so glad to have a place to talk about it. So thank you, as always, for listening, watching. Let me know. What do you think? What do you think that means? What is that? What is that? And yeah, I hope you're having a great now. And if you're not, it'll get better. It always does. And yeah, I'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.